Please be seated. This is one of those Sundays when I wish I was an old-time Baptist preacher. You know, Ross, the fire and brimstone type. You know, the Bible pounding on it, because these are end of days reading that just beg for that kind of preaching. Sorry, you got the wrong priest. The readings today talk a lot about Jesus' day. He is telling the people what's going to happen before the end of times. In the living memory of those people was the exile into Babylon and all sorts of kingdoms that came and went, that were conquered, that conquered. And these people knew what it was like to feel like they were witnessing the end of the world. Before we get to this passage, Jesus has been rather busy telling the good news of God's love and salvation. But he has also done a few other things. He's had his authority questioned by the scribes and the chief priests. He's told a parable against them in response. Spies were sent to try and trap him over the issue of paying taxes so he could be handed over to the governor. He had the tricky question about resurrection put to him, and he denounced the authorities of the day. I suspect that by the time Jesus got to this passage, he was a little annoyed. He was trying to teach about living in God's unconditional love instead of under harsh law. So Jesus was doing also this teaching a few days before he was arrested and put to death. He was approaching his own end time. And once this story was actually written by Luke and started to be told in the community, the temple was already a smoldering ruin. Not only was it a ruin, it had been so for a number of years. It had been razed to the ground by Roman command, and disaster had already happened. And here we sit today, very comfortably, unless you're in a pew, of course, but in Canada. But we are sitting in the midst of a culture that is rather obsessed with the end of the world. Now, did you know that before 1959, there were only 10 movies made about the end of the world? 10. Now, there weren't that many movies made either, but you've got to understand, there were only 10. They were about the end of the world, a prelude to the end of the world, or about the wasteland that would happen after the end of the world, or about the viral infection, of course, that would happen as well. From 1960 to 2009, there are 162 movies about the end of the world, or some such disaster. We live in a time obsessed with end times, destruction of the human race, and zombies. And so here we sit in the midst of that, not all that different from Jesus' day. The first time I ever experienced sort of what it might feel like to live at the end of the world was when I, as a student doing my master's in divinity, went on an exposure tour to the Philippines. I had never been to another country outside of North America, and we were intentionally placed in some of the most poor and fragile places in that beautiful country. I saw and experienced poverty and deprivation and abuse and murder that I never thought I would ever see. And it's kind of a relevant example, because as we know, we are praying for the Philippines as well, as they have again been devastated by a typhoon. They've had volcanoes, earthquakes, a lot of end-of-world, seemingly, times. And when I was there, I realized that many of those people didn't seem to have a lot of choice. And I was fascinated by the churches that were sort of becoming very popular. And all of the churches that were very, very popular never talked about the current situation. They all talked about how wonderful it would be when they died and went to heaven. So it was a teaching of hope rather than a teaching of living through. So they didn't have a lot of choice, I realized, in many ways. But that's not our case, is it? I returned to Canada and was faced with so many choices that I had forgotten I had, even just after 3 weeks away. The choice to take a hot shower, the choice to what to eat for breakfast, the choice of which pair of clean pants or shirt that I could put on. And these days, when we're faced with all sorts of things that seem like end of times, including zombie movies, we have to remember that we also have choices. We have a choice about the pain we see around us, and not just here, but in the world. And we have a choice whether to face it and live through it. We have a choice to escape into a fantasy world and try and ignore it. And then there are choices that we need to make because we are here, gathered as a community of faith. One of the questions we probably could ask ourselves is, will we actually live out the faith that we proclaim? Now, a lot of Sundays, not today, but lots of weeks, we say the words, I believe in God. I am under no delusions that all of you believe every word in the creed. Don't worry, I know you don't. It's okay. People wrote the creed, not God, and think God will forgive us if we don't believe every word. But it's important to realize that you're still here for a reason. You may not believe in exactly the tenets of the Anglican Church of Canada or even the Christian faith, but you're here for a reason. You're here because you believe something. Maybe you believe that it will make you a better person. Maybe you believe that it gives you hope. Maybe you believe in what this community does in the world outside these doors. But we all do have a choice, not only to believe, but to actually make it a way of life. In Jesus' day, they had to make it a way of life. They were asked to leave their nets and follow him. And what did they get for doing that? Persecution, abuse, all sorts of trouble. We have a choice, right here in Ottawa, on Elgin Street, to believe what we believe, and to live it out in our speech, our actions, and our lifestyles, not once a day, but many times during the day. Another thing we have a choice about is whether we're going to see life's challenges as problems to be endured or opportunities to be overcome. Sounds trite and easy, doesn't it? Well, it's not, of course. Jesus says in the reading, "This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds." Pretty clear. He says, "Don't make up your mind about what you're going to say, because I'll give you the words. God will give you the wisdom and the words." Any one of us here, and that's every one of us here, all know what it's like to be human. We all know what it's like to experience life's struggles. We struggle with health or career or family or relationship or money or faith or sometimes all of them at once. And at every turn, the question is whether we're going to have struggles, because we are. The question is, are we going to live through them as people of faith who believe in something more than ourselves? And are we going to see them as an opportunity? An opportunity for us to grow, us to witness, and us to help others grow through their challenges. And the third choice we have is whether we're going to trust in God. In God's faithful presence. It's one thing to say, I believe in God. I trust in God. It's another thing to actually feel it inside. The same promise that Jesus made to the apostles and the first people that heard him speak is the same promise we have today. No matter how brutal life becomes, God chooses to love us. I'm pretty sure God doesn't need us to love God. I'm pretty sure that being that's much greater than all of us doesn't really need us to do that. But we sure need God to love us and believe in us and strengthen us and guide us and bless us no matter what. Those times, you all know the footprints prayer, you know the one where you're walking and there's only one set of footprints on the sand and it's because God was carrying the person? Well, we all experience those times. It may not be God we think that's carrying us, it may be our best friend or a stranger or someone that we do love, but we are being carried. And so we have a choice to trust in God's presence. So here we live, not as zombies, at least I hope not, although it is a choice. We can act like the living dead and just look to the future and think, oh, it'll all be fine then, and not make any choices in the present. But in that, we're making a choice. Or we can see our difficulties and persecutions as opportunities. And we can have a way of speaking and living out our lives that will be faithful and wonderful. The first prayer almost that we pray today says exactly the whole sermon in one sentence. It's rather disturbing that way. Grant us wisdom to interpret the signs of our times, courage to stand in the time of trial, and faith to witness in your truth and love. Much said, much better said than even I have tried to say it. So today as you leave here, maybe you're going to go watch a movie about a zombie. Maybe you're going to have lunch with a friend. Or maybe you're going to face one of those trials and difficulties that is in your life at this moment. Whatever it is, know that God is with you, no matter what. Amen.